You are Locked On Reds, your daily Cincinnati Reds podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The 2020 season did not quite go as planned for Reds fans as the playoffs ended abruptly in the wild card round. Now the Reds are left to pick up the pieces during the offseason and fix a lineup that was the worst in Major League Baseball. How are they going to do it? What are they going to do? Rumors, transactions, news, all here on the Locked On Reds podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Carr. Let's go!
Baseball and murder. Or, more specifically, Reds baseball and murder. That's right. That's what we're talking about today on this Throwback Thursday, this Thanksgiving Throwback Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you so much for listening to today's Locked On Reds podcast. I have joining me today Chad Dotson from the Red Leg Nation radio podcast. He's got this awesome story that he wrote about for his weekly email newsletter titled The Riverfront, and it is about Reds baseball, home runs, Babe Ruth, and murder. So without further ado, let's dive into the story. Alrighty, for today's Locked On Reds, we have a Throwback Thursday, a Throwback Thanksgiving Thursday. I'm going to tip my hand a little bit, though. We're recording this beforehand. I'm not bugging Chad from his Thanksgiving dinner. He is Chad Dotson. He is the host of the Red Leg Nation radio podcast and purveyor of the Riverfront email newsletter down at the Riverfront. Man, I forgot it already. Chad, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Good to talk to you again, Jeff. How you been?
Man, I'm doing pretty good. It's a little bit chilly up here in Ohio, but I guess that's to be expected around here in November. So let's talk some baseball and think of warmer months.
Sounds like a plan to me.
So you had this awesome story, and it's funny because it actually plays a little bit along with some of the Throwback Thursdays I've already done. Most recently, I had Cam Miller on the podcast, and we kind of unwittingly started a series of Throwback Thursdays looking at the dead ball era. Your story happens after the dead ball era, but it's right around that same time span because it's dealing with the man who killed the dead ball era, and there also happened to be another murder, but, I mean, Babe Ruth wasn't directly involved in that. But how did you find out about this story? Because this is an awesome story. I think I'd watch a movie about this.
Yeah, I really, really like this story. A couple years ago when Chris Garber and I were doing the research for our book that we wrote about the Reds, the book was about the 50 men and moments that made the Cincinnati Reds, obviously, but we did a lot of research into a number of other possibilities that might be included in the book. And one of those is, you know, I saw reference a couple of places to this exhibition game in 1921 when Babe Ruth came to Cincinnati and it was kind of just a legendary performance. So I just was doing some research around that exhibition game. And as I did it, I just happened across a little item in the Cincinnati Inquirer from back then that piqued my interest. And so I started digging a little more, and the story kept getting a little crazier. And it turned into a strange story, I guess. I don't know if fun's the right word since the title is literally Home Runs and Murder. But it was this really strange story that I ended up writing up, even though I knew kind of when I was writing it that there's no way this is going to fit within the theme of our book. But I started writing up back then and I've dusted it off a couple times since, and I decided, I'm going to finish this thing, polish it off and send it out on my newsletter, The Riverfront, that I've been doing. So I got a really good response. It was a gratifying response, fun to talk to people about a story that, you know, we're all huge Reds fans, but most of us, you know, don't know this story, and that's why it's kind of cool, I think.
I absolutely did not know this story, but now that I've read it, I could definitely see it being some kind of movie that Kenneth Branagh plays a detective trying to figure out the case and all that stuff. I love, and obviously going back to that era of baseball, like you mentioned, it is a very different era that Babe Ruth kind of changes into more of the game that we see today. And kind of like you said, with the whole idea of the exhibition, they played baseball for fun back then. Rob Manfred wasn't the commissioner back then, was he?
No, clearly not. Yeah, this exhibition was July 25th, 1921, and the Yankees had just beaten Cleveland, and they were hopped on the train on their way back to New York, and they stopped in Cincinnati to play an exhibition in the middle of July. It's just the things that teams did back then. It was just there were more off days because they were trying to accommodate travel by train, and so they tossed an occasional exhibition, a few extra bucks, and fans in Cincinnati who wouldn't ordinarily have gotten to see Babe Ruth got a chance to see him on an off day. So, yeah, it was a different time, as you say.
And just for some folks that may not realize, there was no such thing as interleague play back then. So it's not as if, oh, well, the Yankees were on the schedule later in the year. No. This wasn't something that ever happened during the regular season, at least.
Right, yeah. And it was such a big deal in Cincinnati in particular because of that. There was no interleague play, so they had never gotten to see Babe Ruth. And so Babe Ruth comes into town. This is mid-July. He has 36 home runs. Now, to put that into context, I mean, that's a lot in July anyway, but to put it into even more context, the Cincinnati Reds, all season long in 1921, the whole team only had 20 home runs. And the leading home run hitter for the Reds was Ed Rouse. He was a Hall of Famer. He led the Reds with 4 home runs that season. So that Babe Ruth was revolutionizing the sport, and it was just, people went wild over him coming to Cincinnati, just because there's a chance to see this guy that was revolutionizing not just baseball but sports. I mean, he was one of the most famous people in the world, or on the verge of becoming one of the most famous people in the world. And so, yeah, it was a party in the Queen City at that time.
And the game itself was lots of fun. The Reds ended up winning 9-8, like you said in the story. But the story isn't necessarily all about the game.
Right, yeah. You know, you're right. It was an exciting game for an exhibition game, whatever. And I went into that some, and there's some fun parts about that. But essentially, before the game, a couple of friends, one's a truck driver, one's a butcher, and they, we get together in this particular saloon and argue about things, sometimes baseball. And that morning before the game, the big argument was whether Babe Ruth would hit a home run out of Redlands Field. And this is what later became Crosley Field, but it was named Redlands Field at that time. And the reason why this was such an argument, is Babe Ruth going to hit a home run, is because there had only ever been one home run ever hit over the fence at Redlands Field, ever. And so these two friends, Corcoran and Shuler, they make a bet. One says that there's no way he's going to hit a home run, and one says that he will. Well, Babe Ruth hits 2 home runs over the fence. It's something that nobody could believe because it never happened, like I said.
Right.
And so after the game, the loser of the bet kind of gets upset and assaults the winner of the bet, who was Corcoran. And so in a chain of events sets off where Corcoran ends up going to a pawn shop and getting a gun and actually shoots Shuler. And father of 5 kids killed him over this bet. They got to fight over this bet they had argued so hard about later that day. And he goes on the run, and then it turns into a kind of a crazy Law and Order type story, because the grand jury refused to indict and the prosecutor said he was going to indict, but they never did. And people were trying to defraud the widow of the victim out of some money, saying they were going to help investigate the crime. It's just sort of a crazy story. And the long and short of it is nobody, as far as we could tell, nobody was ever prosecuted for this murder or for this fraudulent attempt to defraud the widow. It's just a different time, I guess, but just this wild set of events that I'm really not doing justice to. And I would encourage you to go to check out the newsletter where you can still get it on the web. And it's a pretty fun story, I think.
I mean, that's like a storyline out of The Bold and the Beautiful or Days of Our Lives or something.
It's wild.
And who knew betting on baseball could be bad for your health?
That's right. I mean, we hear all the arguments against gambling. I never really considered this one, but I just thought it was fun because I just randomly ran across this story, and this was, you know, kind of a fun story that had something to do with the Reds and with Babe Ruth, you know, and it's a kind of a baseball related story that had kind of been lost to history, and it made me wonder how many more of these stories are out there lost to history that we're never going to know unless by some random guy just stumbles across it while doing research for something else. It was fun.
Well, and I love the bit too, like even talking about the game, you mentioned that whenever Babe Ruth comes up for his first home run, leading up to it, there's two outs and there's runners on base, and they got a light hitting utility infielder that's hitting right before him, and the crowd all around the stadium is clamoring for the Reds pitcher, whose name is Fritz, which is awesome, to walk the guy and bring up Babe Ruth. I mean, could you imagine, like, nowadays, like, there'd be like a situation, and obviously there are no exhibitions during the middle of the season, but a situation where maybe they're playing the Brewers and there's two outs, but everybody really wants to see Christian Yelich bat. And so they clamor for the guy on the mound to walk to get Christian Yelich. That would be just like, I don't know. Like, my mind would explode, I think, if that happened.
Right. Yeah. The fans all over the stadium are on their feet, you know, imploring the Yankees pitcher, Fritz Kuhn was his name, to walk a hitter so that Babe Ruth will get to the plate with runners on. And that's crazy enough, but then even crazier, the pitcher did walk the guy to get to just sort of tip his cap and said, sure, why not? Let's face Ruth. And of course he regretted that very quickly.
I'm guessing if Trevor Bauer were on the mound in that situation, he would not have done that.
Probably not. Although knowing Trevor Bauer, I don't know. He might just because he likes to zig when everybody else is zagging. So who knows?
It's a great story. And like Chad mentioned, it's on his newsletter called The Riverfront. Go subscribe to that today. It gets sent to your email box. So for people like me who are sometimes lazy about typing in URLs, it's nice because it's sent right to you. And he's got a lot of great stuff in there as well. Also includes links to awesome stories around the web and different books and stuff and different movies that he's been watching here lately. Really appreciate the newsletter, man. And this story, just I mean, that's a movie. Like, guy goes and tries to borrow a gun from his family members. And then when he can't do that, he sells his own watch to get a gun from a pawn shop. Like, this dude was really mad about getting punched because he won a bet.
Yeah, he should have been just happy that he won the bet and forgive it, but that's not the way it works in 1921 in Cincinnati, Ohio, evidently. But I appreciate your kind words about the newsletter. It's chaddotson.substack.com if anybody wants to. I know nobody's really clamoring for more of me in their inbox every day, but it's something I've had fun with. And if you just can't get enough Chad Dotson in your life, here's a way to get a little bit more.
Check it out, and check out Red Leg Nation Radio, the best weekly Reds podcast out there. I mean, you're on a good daily podcast too, so I appreciate you coming on, man, and hopefully talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Always happy to come on the best daily Reds podcast anytime you need me, Jeff.
That'll do it for us here today. Hopefully all of you have a great Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to every single one of you listening. And coming up on the next podcast, we're going to break down the trade that the Reds had. They made a trade with the Rockies, and Bob Steve is no longer a Red. That'll be coming up on the next podcast. And the best way to not miss it is to subscribe on whatever podcasting platform you're currently listening to. And follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with 3 F's, and follow the show at Locked On Reds. But that'll do it for us here today. Enjoy your turkey. Enjoy your stuffing. Enjoy all the fixings that you got for this Thanksgiving. And we'll talk some more Reds here later on.
Let's go, Reds. Hey.